You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Our current serial is Halloween is Not a Verb from the Fake Geek Girl series. You can find the other stories in this series by scrolling back through the Podbean account, or if you like to read your fiction with your eyes and words, like, you know, people who aren't listening to podcasts. You can find the ebooks of the Fake Geek Girl stories, or the Belladonna University stories, rather, for general sale through Amazon. Just search for my name. They will come up. Any other online book purchasing place, they should be there too. Or if you sign up to support my Patreon, you can download a bunch of them as bonus extra content just for being a member. All right, here we go. Halloween is Not a Verb, Part 7. Viola and her boys go a little bit country. "So," said Viola Vale, looking over her sunglasses at her two best friends. "Meet the parents." "I'm not meeting anyone's parents," said Jules Nightshade over a steaming decaf cinnamon latte. Viola coughed her amusement into a napkin. "Keep telling yourself that." Ferdinand Chauvelin rolled his eyes at them both, bit into his almond biscotti, and said nothing. The three of them had opted to fly together to the touristy mountain town where Hebe and Holly's mothers apparently ran a successful homemade candle business, surrounded by extended family, witchy traditions going back hundreds of years, and, well, a lot of bees and sheep, probably? Viola had been a city girl her whole life. She had no idea how the country worked. Travelling by broomstick meant at least that all three took themselves out of the how many people can we fit in the band van challenge that their friends and significant others were still arguing about when they left. It also gave Viola some armour to face the upcoming holiday. Halloween usually meant fancy black tie events hosted by her father or Nightshade's parents or Chauves. Halloween meant the three of them sneaking away to drink stolen vodka, setting jinxes to prank their least favourite guests. This year, Victor Vale made no mention of any Halloween social commitments, and he'd barely reacted when Viola mentioned going out of town with her friends. Was she officially uninvited from the fancy side of town, now that Chauve was on the outs with his family? Or was there something else going on she had no idea about? "Do you know what your mother's doing this year?" she asked Nightshade, lightly enough that he wouldn't think the answer mattered. She clearly hadn't been subtle enough. Chauve sent her a glower from behind his cup. "Some kind of retreat," Jules shrugged. "Cucumber baths and rose petal charms as part of her overall campaign to pretend she's not turning 50. Viola blinked. "She doesn't turn 50 for another 3 years. She's taking a run-up at pretending it's not happening." A flock of children ran past the cafe in costumes, superheroes and monsters, a few cartoony witches from favourite TV shows, the kind with fake warts and striped green stockings. Viola winced. "School's out then. We should get going. We said we'd be there by 4. "I don't know about you," said Jules, "but I don't want to risk turning up before the others. Do you?" He eyed the menu. "One more drink," Viola conceded. "But don't you dare sneak in any actual coffee. I'm not hauling you along on the back of my broomstick. If you dampen your magic, you can walk the rest of the way." She looked at Chauve, who was ignoring them both, staring into the distance. "Hey, lover boy, not freaking out about this, are you?" Chauve gave her a weak smile. "Well, it's not like Hebe's parents can hate me more than mine do right now." "Ooh, self-pity points," said Jules, stealing the rest of the biscotti. "You know what you did," he added sternly, and crammed them all in his mouth. Chauve laughed at that. "You know," he teased, "I'm pretty sure Hebe's parents are the closest thing that Sage McLaren has to family that he talks to." Jules rolled his eyes while crunching his mouthful of biscotti. "Imagine how much. I don't care." It was a farm. An actual farm. Viola was glad she had thought to wear boots instead of heels, but regretted the fact that she hadn't had the foresight to wear less awesome boots. Hers were going to get wrecked. Oh, it's like something out of a book, said Jules, as their broomsticks all hovered near the bright red letterbox with Hallo scrawled on the side. A disaster novel, he added, in case any of them forgot for 10 seconds that he was a total snob. The van's here at least, said Chauve, pointing up the meandering driveway to the fake geek girl band van, which was parked in front of an enormous barn which did indeed look like something out of a book. A children's picture book about chickens, possibly. Splendid, said Viola. That's sure to make things less awkward. She hesitated for a moment because why were they even here again? Chauve lurched forward on his broomstick. Oh, that's right. Meet the parents. This was rather more of an investment for him than it was for Viola and Jules. The others followed him. There were Halloween garlands up and down the driveway, culminating in a full explosion of black cats, pumpkins, and witch hats draped over the outside of the charming weatherboard farmhouse. Jules stared at it all in fascination, as if he'd never seen anything tacky before in his life, which was a lie, because the student bar had been dripping in cheap Halloween tat for weeks already. Chauve hesitated at the doorway. Viola took over, pushing him all the way forward to knock, and at the cheerful call from inside, to enter. If Halloween had exploded outside, it had proceeded to sneeze all over the inside of the house. They found themselves in an enormous sunny kitchen, full of beeswax tallow, butternut pumpkins, and hanging lanterns that reflected every Halloween cliché in bouncing patterns of paper. Familiar faces and complete strangers were all jammed in together, many of them sorting bowls full of lollies, or performing strange cooking rituals, and others drinking cups of tea, laughing, chatting. It was Viola's idea of hell, like one of her father's awful parties, except where everyone involved actually liked each other and had no concept of personal space. Dex swooped in moments before Holly, which was something of a relief. Viola found herself steered widdershins around the kitchen, while Chauve and Jules were dragged off clockwise. She was introduced to several people who hugged her, bowed politely in formal witch style, or in the case of those who already knew her, offered ironic high fives and or pretended to be people with different names, who did indeed need to be introduced. Finally, she saw Jules and Chauve again, who looked as shell-shocked as she was. They were wedged into a corner together, on the far side of the kitchen. Chauve was holding a plate of gingerbread broomsticks, and Jules was holding a cup of mint tea, like he wanted to stab someone with it. "Back in a sec, love," Dex said in Viola's ear, and then hurried off to help Sage turn a large table into apparently an even larger table without the use of magic. "Get me out of here," Jules whispered, with a frantic, terrified smile. "They're all so nice." Chauve had wiped all expression from his face, which made him look faintly bored if you didn't know him at all. "Either I miscounted," he murmured to Viola, "or Hebe has 3 mothers. 3. How did I not know that? You'd think that's the sort of thing that comes up in conversation." Viola decided then and there that she was going to enjoy herself this weekend. She leaned in and took a gingerbread broomstick off the plate. "Happy Halloween, darlings." Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. Come back next week for another episode of Halloween Is Not a Verb. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon. You can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. You also get access to the ongoing Patreon-exclusive serialized novel, Soapy Ballads, which is part of my original fantasy Mocklore series, for those of you who've been following my career for a while now. So there's a brand new novel, currently two updates a month, though if I pass the next Patreon goal, it's going to go up to 4 a month, which is not terrifying at all. Also, if you become a Patreon supporter at $2 or more per month, you get access to the Galactic Suburbia Slack, which is a fantastic, fun discussion forum full of some very cool people, including a special channel specifically for discussing this podcast as the episodes come out. So I will hopefully see you next week for the next installment of Halloween is Not a Verb. See you then.